All right. Well, the title you see in your bulletins is Philoxenia. Philoxenia, that is obviously a foreign word to you, foreign word to us, but it is, you'll recognize, a Greek word. Anybody have any idea what that might mean? Okay, good. Let's look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. Let's start with verse 9. Romans 12, 9, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. I want you to consider tonight what the Bible has to say about an often neglected ministry. And in this ministry, you'll usually find the same people doing it. Some Christians have never practiced this ministry. It's a word from which our word hospital is derived. It's the ministry of hospitality. Hospital is a word and an institution born precisely out of Christian hospitality. And we see in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Hebrews 13, 1 says, let brotherly love continue. We are to love the brethren, and therefore you've got the city of Philadelphia, which is the city of brotherly love. So Phila, love. Adelphos, brother. Love of the brethren. And we tend to apply these verses to the people we know. When you look at those verses up there, being kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love, let brotherly love continue, and people will always accommodate people you know. It's easy to do that. And yet, both passages above continue. Romans 12, 13, given to hospitality. Hebrews 13, 2, an interesting verse. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. The responsibility for love and concern does not stop with those that we know. It is to be extended to strangers. Now, when you've got that word starting with an X, obviously we don't call it Xenia, it's Xenia. Xenia, strangers. You've probably heard of a xenophobe. A xenophobe is one who is contemptuous or fearful of foreigners or strangers. And yet you've got a word in Romans 12, 13 that we want to look at. It's the word philoxenia. It's literally lover of strangers. A lover of strangers. There is a town in Ohio called Xenia, Ohio. Since we've got a city in Pennsylvania called Philadelphia, there's Xenia, Ohio, which is kind of an interesting name. It's not philoxenos, lover of strangers. It's just strangers. What a strange city. In Greece today, there are many hotels, inns, restaurants that have the name Philoxenia as part of that name. Lover of strangers. Isn't that fitting for a hotel? Lover of strangers. I think that fits quite well. I think that's a good name for a restaurant. Lover of strangers. I think that's a good name or a good practice of the church. Lover of strangers. Jesus said this in Matthew 25, 35. He's talking about what's going to take place in the tribulation. He says, I was a stranger, xenos, and ye took me in. My outline tonight is composed of two main points, and each of my two main points has two sub-points. So the four sub-points are composed of the five times that the word philoxenia or philoxenos is used in the New Testament. I hope this is interesting to you, but I hope it goes beyond just interesting. I hope it's a challenge to you. Because there's a mandate of hospitality in the Bible. Did you know that? A mandate. What's a mandate? Something that is commanded. Something that is command. Now, we're going to look first of all at the command to all given in Romans 12, 13. To whom does given to hospitality apply? Every believer. And yet the wording sounds like it's optional. I'm not given to that. So you can say as you read Romans 12, 13, well, I'm just not given to hospitality. It says given to hospitality. When you look at that word given, it's kind of interesting because it literally means to pursue or to run after. The word is literally translated persecute in verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. The very next verse. The verb form of it is used in verse 13, given. Somebody who is pursuing hospitality. That's what every believer ought to be doing, is pursuing hospitality. We're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the adult Bible class. There is no gift of hospitality. Because it is commanded to all believers. All believers are expected to do it. Now, that's 12:13. That's 12:13b, given to hospitality, but we've left out the first part of verse 13. Distributing to the saints, or to the necessity of the saints. Literally, in the needs of the saints, having a share. And the word share is the same word we see in Acts for the word fellowship. Fellowship is involved in distributing to the necessity of the saints, or literally sharing in the need for all the saints. Think about this morning's message. The fellowship that we have. And in verses 44 and 45, Acts chapter 2, what were the people doing? They were having all things common, and they were taking care of each other. If this mandate of hospitality were to be pursued by all people, especially at people here at Westside, folks would line up when the opportunity came to host a guest speaker, a guest missionary. But I find that, you know, that table's avoided back there when that time comes. Or when somebody's called by the hospitality committee. When we need someone to host someone. So I think this needs to be addressed. There's no room for people to say, well, I'm just not a people person. Other excuses, well, I don't have a nice enough home. My house isn't clean. What would you say to somebody who says, my house isn't clean? Okay, thank you. Then clean it. I stayed in a home once when I traveled with a drama team. I stayed in the spring of 1980, probably in 120 different homes, all within the same number of days. And one night, one of the guys on the team and I, Randy Neal, stayed in a home in upstate New York. It was a dairy farm. We walked out into the, we went into the house, and then they showed us our bedroom. It had a dirt floor, literally a dirt floor. And when we woke up the next morning, I heard little kittens, and they had been born under my bed during the night. But you know what? Those people were hospitable. It was a dairy farm. Farm kid loved it. Until I went out and had breakfast, and I saw things floating around in my milk that they had just... That was a little bit hard to take. But still, hospitality, lover of strangers. I'm sure the pastor was going, okay, who's going to take, okay, well, it's going to be the such and such again. I know that they've got the dairy farm and they've got, by the way, if you've ever worked on a dairy farm, you've got a lot of things to do. And here's people who opened their home to us. And I tell you, you know, as we traveled from home to home, from house to house this morning, it was a joy. It was some of the things I remember were the homes we stayed in, the people we met, and the conversations we had. And it was just a pleasure to get to know people. and to get into people's homes. So my house isn't clean. Well, then clean it. Well, it interferes with family time. Use it as a family time. My busy schedule won't allow. Here's one way to redeem the time. I've noticed that the more mothers work outside the home, the more this ministry is neglected. It could be as well that there's a politically correct, all those excuses I gave are simply a politically correct way to say, I'm selfish. The word selfish you will not find in the King James Bible. But does the Bible condemn selfishness? Absolutely. Go with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, where we are going to read something that pertains to the days in which we live. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. What's the very first thing mentioned? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. The overriding characteristic of last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now the word lovers appears there, and so you know that there's going to be this word phila. We're talking about philoxenia, but it's going to have a different suffix. So here you've got philoxenia up there, lover of strangers. What do you think the Greek word for lover of self is? It's just one word. Here it is. Can anybody try to pronounce that? Philautoi. Philautoi. It's the plural of philautos. Philautoi. Lovers. Plural. Lovers of themselves. Here is the opposite of somebody who is a lover of strangers. This is a selfish person. This is a philautoi. Lovers of their own selves. And folks, that is the characteristic of the last days. That is characteristic of the day we live in. Folks, it ought not to be here. It ought not to be here. When Jesus sent his disciples out in Luke chapter 10, he instructed them to stay in the homes to eat and drink whatever is set before you. That is hard sometimes. Would those whom Jesus sent out, would they have been welcome in your home? Would you have taken them in? Oh, I would have taken them in if Jesus sent them out. Really? True brotherly love, Romans 12:10. If you're still in Romans chapter 12, look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. True brotherly love, Romans 10, that is not hypocritical, verse 9, is not something you talk about. It is something you demonstrate even to brothers who are strangers to you, verse 13. Go with me to Acts chapter 28, just a few pages before Romans chapter 12. Acts chapter 28, and here's a rebuke to believers. When Paul and the ship he was on was shipwrecked, who took care of them? Acts chapter 28 and verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people, these are barbarians, showed us no little kindness. For they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold, and so forth and so on. Then you get down to verse 7. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. Here are these barbarians who took care of these people who had been shipwrecked. Now, we will often say, you know, man, this guy, he broke down right in front of my house. I'm going to take him in, obviously. And we love to be in a situation where we have to do something to help somebody and to save their life, you know. But what about when you have the opportunity to volunteer And we all look to the people around us to hopefully do what I don't want to do. And for what reason? Some people twist the scripture to say that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was inhospitality. Many passages, such as 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, Jude 7, make it clear that it was homosexuality. That's why homosexuality historically has been called sodomy. So it is a command to all. It is a prerequisite for some. Go with me. Or actually, I'll have it up on the screen for you. Spiritual leaders. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 says that a bishop must be given to hospitality. Titus 1:8 says he must be a lover of hospitality. In both passages, the literal meaning is hospitable or a friend or a lover of strangers. But then there's another one that we often overlook because everybody remembers the prerequisite for a bishop. And everybody's got their fingers pointed at me tonight. And that's fine because that applies to me. But let's look at another passage. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's go on, progress through 1 Timothy. Are you with me? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And there you're going to read about the qualifications of a bishop. Now go to chapter 5. Let's notice something in chapter 5. Paul is talking about in verse 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder woman as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Very next verse. Why? All of a sudden, he just transitions from that and goes right into verse 3. Honor them that are widows indeed. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. She has to be at least 60 years old, having been the wife of one man. So here's the biblical prescription for this. If there is a widow, number one, her children and her nephews ought to take care of her, not the church. It's up to the children. It's up to the nephew. It's up to her relatives to take care of her. It is not the responsibility of the church. In fact, Paul goes on to talk about that in some verses later on here. Look at verse 16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Now, what is a widow indeed? A widow indeed is one who doesn't have family to take care of her. She's at least 60 years old, but there's some more things that Paul talks about here. Verse 9 I read, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, verse 10, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers. Why would God make it a requirement that she had to have lodged strangers? Well, she's not worthy of the hospitality of the church if she herself has never lodged strangers. I find it interesting how when you read the Bible, helping others is sometimes tied to what those people have done when you're talking about in the church. So the principle is, how do you expect people to show you hospitality when you don't or haven't shown it yourself? And folks, the day may come, as in New Testament times, when many of us are going to need the hospitality of someone. Widows indeed, they have lodged strangers. Let's look at the manner of hospitality. And here again is my subpoint, the criterion to all. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and note verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. Read out loud with me verses 8 and 9. Are you ready? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Let's read together. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Now you go on to the very next verse, and I find it interesting that it says, as we've been singing on Sunday mornings in the adult Bible class, as every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. But once again, hospitality is not a gift, it is a command. What does he say here? Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Use philoxenia one to another. And then he uses this phrase, without grudging. Without grudging, without literally grumbling, without complaining or secret talk or whisperings. Hospitality can be a chore. Try keeping a bunch of people in your home. It can be a chore. This is kind of humorous. There's an Italian proverb. A guest is like a fish. After 3 days, he stinks. But I like this. Hospitality, the art of making one feel at home when you wish they were. Well, remember this when you are the guest. Remember this when you are the guest. You know how the shoe is now on the other foot and all of a sudden you've become the one who needs lodging? You're the one who needs help? And you say, this is so nice, I think I'll stay a while. You ever heard of this verse? Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. Don't overstay your welcome. Don't overstay your welcome. Grumbling, grudging is not a problem if 1 Peter 4:8 is observed. The verse right before this one about hospitality. That's why I had you read it. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And then he goes in and talks about hospitality and not being grudging and grumbling and whispering and so forth. By the way, the same principle applies to talking to somebody's ear off. Don't wear out your welcome when you're talking to somebody. Don't monopolize people's time by talking incessantly to them. Some people need to learn when wearing out others is happening when you're talking. Now, as Peter wrote in 4:9, when he's writing this, I wonder if his mind went back to the time when he was sent out. He was one of those sent out and staying in people's homes. And I wonder if maybe his mind went back to Jesus' words in John chapter 21 when Jesus said 3 times to Peter, lovest thou me? Yes, Lord, you know I do. And then Peter, and then Jesus would say, tend my sheep. When he claimed that he loved the Lord. Matthew chapter 25 verses 34 to 40. Is the passage where Jesus is talking about what's going to happen during the tribulation period. And so I'd like you to see it, Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 to 40. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, this is Matthew 25, 34, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, This is what is so significant. Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? You see, being hospitable should be so second nature you don't even know you're doing it. Even as these that Jesus describes. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. By the way, he says, my brethren, in this passage. I believe this is the caring of for the Jews who are being persecuted tremendously during the tribulation. Hospitality is an important mission of the church. A church as a whole will do better in receiving of strangers than the members do individually in their homes. They will do no better, actually. A church that is truly welcoming goes way beyond the building, where you can smile and so forth. It goes directly into the home where people can really see how you live, the true test of authenticity. It starts in the home. 1 Peter 4:9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. It was a necessary component of Jesus sending out his disciples. Look at, and go with me very quickly through Acts a little bit. We'll see just a few passages. The apostles needed hospitality. Would you keep an apostle in your home? Would you have kept Peter in your home? Acts chapter 10, 5 and 6. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now, the part I'm trying to point out here is that Simon, a tanner, is providing lodging for Peter. Go down to verse 23. And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just. Then all of a sudden, in the house that Peter is in, where these people are being hospitable, all of a sudden, some people show up the door and say, hey, Cornelius needs you. Now, what is this host, what is Simon and Tanner going to do about these people? Look at verse 23. And they say, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, this is verse 22, was warned from God by an angel to send for thee into his house and to hear the words of thee. Verse 23, then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and a certain brethren from Joppa accompanied. So this guy gives lodging to all of them. Look at chapter 16 of Acts. Paul has the Macedonian vision. He's headed to Philippi. When he gets there, you see Acts chapter 16 and verse 15. There's this woman, Lydia, in verse 14, who is saved. She opens her heart to the Lord, and it says in verse 15, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She provided lodging. Go to chapter 21. Verse 15. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one, Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. People providing lodging all the time. Linsky, in his commentary, said this, even pagans remarked about how the Christians loved each other and received a holy strange Christian as a brother. I have told people that I just finished reading the book Saint in the Wilderness. We watched the film Sheffy a few weeks ago, so I read the book. Wherever he went, people provided him lodging. And you saw some of the interesting things he did in the film. Like when he went to the house and they sat down and they were eating, or the meal was prepared, and he's looking around. They have asked, he said, would you say the blessing, Brother Sheffy? And he's looking around and say, where are the dumplings? Well, the flustered hostess says, I don't always prepare dumplings. So he asked to pray, so he prays. And Lord, even you know that this would taste better with dumplings, okay? That was what he did everywhere. That wasn't a one-time occurrence. I was reading, and he went to this lady's house, and she made some biscuits. And when he was done eating, he says, ma'am, now next time you come, make sure these biscuits are more browned. And that's what he was known for. He was in a hostess's home saying these things. People gladly, they wanted to host Brother Sheffy. An eccentric man in so many ways. And yet they wanted to host him. Why? Because here's a man who was traveling about. He was an itinerant, going from place to place, helping people, preaching, exhorting. And again, I have done extensive traveling personally. Drama team, neighborhood Bible time, and I remember the hospitality, I remember the accommodations, but I remember the people. The evangelistic temperature of a church is directly related to how hospitable it is. Not the building, but the people. How do you think people would feel welcome in our church if they're not welcome in our individual homes? It's easy to show love to one another when it is returned. But forget not what Jesus said in Luke 14, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. It is a criterion for all, the manner of hospitality. But I close with this. It's a privilege for some. Here's the verse. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, people take this to mean that, okay, one day I might be host to an angel. It's not what it says. It says, for thereby some have entertained past angels unawares. Now, maybe you'll have an angel in your home sometime. Phillips, in his commentary on Romans, said, Abraham pressed his hospitality upon the wayfarers that were journeying past his door, Genesis 18, and thereby entertained angels unawares. Remember that? Hebrews 13:2 is what we're quoting. Not to mention the one whom the angels worship. Think about it. The angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, was at Abraham's door in Genesis 18. And based upon that, the writer of Hebrews says, now don't forget to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. My mom and dad always kept missionaries. 8 kids. All 8 kids born within 10 years. And I well remember those missionaries. The Wright family. Missionaries to Ethiopia. And I had my Bible signed by all of them. It's a Bible I can't find anymore. I wish I could find that Bible when I was just a little boy. And I just loved those missionaries. And I was reading an article about observations from a survey of missionaries and pastors about what God uses to call to missions. And they did this survey to find out, okay, what is it that God uses to call people into missions? Here's one that, you know, may not surprise you. Mission teams going on a mission trip, but that's not the best, that's not the greatest one. The attitude of and missions emphasis of pastors and the churches, that's a big one, but you know what the large one is? Homes hospitable to missionaries. And it explains, families need to realize how greatly their hospitality to missionaries and family prayers for missionaries affect their children. A third of all missionary respondents went to the field after having such a missionary influence in their homes. A third. You want to pray for missionaries better? Have them in your home. By entertaining someone, you may be an instrument of the Lord to answer the prayer of some brother, some sister, some mother, some father in influencing someone for the Lord. So here we are in our home, growing up in Omaha, Nebraska, and hosting missionaries time and again. Then we moved out on a farm near Columbus, Nebraska, Monroe. And there we have all 10 of us in this house. And my dad was burdened for a teenager in Omaha we had known. He had kind of gone hippie. And the next thing you know, Don Berkheimer is living in our home. My dad took him in. He made it rough on him. He said, if you're coming into my home, you're going to live under our roof, under our standards. He cut his hair, shaved, cleaned up, met a girl in that church, got married. He took somebody in. He helped someone. There are some people for whom you should not provide lodging. I have to close this way. Who are they? 2 John chapter 7. 2 John verse 7. In fact, you shouldn't even let these people in your house. 2 John 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. What does it say about somebody who bids somebody Godspeed? You are partaker of his evil deeds. I have a practice that if somebody says to me, God bless you, if I don't know that person, I don't say the same thing back to them. Is that offensive? Why would I bid him Godspeed not knowing who he is, what he does? You may say, well, that's just picky. I'm sorry, but I read that here. And so I just make it a practice that if I don't know somebody, I don't say, and may the Lord bless you. Bless you? I don't know. If I want the Lord to bless somebody who is taking false doctrine somewhere. Listen, a missionary shows up on my door from the Mormon church. Missionary from the Jehovah's Witnesses comes to my door. I do not let them in my house. I won't even let them cross the threshold. I will cross the threshold to them and stand on a porch and talk to them. And then all of a sudden, when I start asking them the questions they don't like, they're in a real hurry to leave. I had two Mormons come to the door the other day. And I just very plainly said to them, you guys are preaching a false doctrine. And by what you're preaching, I want you guys to know you're on your way to hell and you need to be saved. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are on your way to hell. And they looked at me and smiled. And I said, you can go ahead and smile. And I never tell them I'm a pastor. They're not welcome in my home. I know a guy who welcomed them in his home, a Christian. It influenced his kids. Do not accept them in your home. 3 John, since you're in 2 John, look at verses 5 through 8. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles, Where we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Now here's a Christian brother who is doing what's right. Listen, you want to be a fellow helper to the truth? Help them. When a missionary shows up, you want to be a fellow helper to get that person on the field? Help them. It's easy to put some money in the offering plate, and we all should. But it's not just in what we have, it's in what we do, as we were talking about this morning. May God help us to practice the ministry of philoxenia.